Revelation chapter 22 and verse 21. Someone has said to the effect that this must be a very important verse in the Bible, because it's the very last verse. The Lord Jesus had written this whole book to His church, His bride, His wife, a letter, letters from the groom to the bride. Somebody's called it love letters. And it's almost as though He signs it, as if it's His signature on the bottom of the page. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus. All the things that He's did for His bride in His Word, in a way of instructing her, in the way of teaching her, even in the way of chastening her and rebuking her. But it's as though the Father knew how forgetful we are, how our minds stray from His love, from His grace. So He ends it in a reminder of something that you and I need often to hear of. And what is that? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And I want to look at just three simple things in this verse this afternoon, just for a few minutes. And it's found right here in the text. And first of all, it's this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. His grace. We're told of the grace of the Father in election, that His election is an election of grace. He chose us to the praise of the glory of His grace. We're told about the graces of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a gracious Spirit. He's the one that gives us life and sustains the life. The Holy Spirit puts His graces within our hearts. The grace of the Holy Spirit. But we read here in this passage of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Father's purpose. And it's the Son's, it's the Spirit's work to let us know that grace is mainly magnified through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So He takes the last opportunity that He has here and He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I remember telling you these two things the other day. Let me reiterate them in just a little different way. When we think of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of a fountain. God has put all grace in His Son. All saving grace is in the Son of God. He is the fountain of it. And as the fountain, He is full of grace. And though many have come and received grace at His hand, many, a number that no man can number has come already. And we look for a host of more to come. And they've drawn this grace out of the very heart of the Son of God, and yet He's still full. He's full of grace and truth. Life-giving, life-sustaining grace, and yet He is never diminished. We're told in John 1:14, behold, John said, we beheld His glory. What is His glory? Well, He tells us two things. One, He says, it's the glory of the only begotten of the Father. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That's His glory. He is God. And secondly, He said, His glory is this. He is full of grace and truth. That's His glory. He was full of grace before He came. He was full of grace when He came. And though many have sucked this grace from His heart and live upon it, He's yet this very day still full of grace. Jesus Christ is in and of Himself the eternal supply of grace. Ain't that wonderful? He is as full of grace today as He was yesterday. And He'll be as full of grace tomorrow as He is today. Because He's Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He saved you by His grace yesterday, then He'll save you by His grace today, and you'll be saved by His grace tomorrow. Because He's Jesus Christ, the Lord, who changeth not. Peter said, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. He is full. As a fountain, He is full. You may go to the well and it be dry. You may go to the spring and He won't give you a sup of water. But every time you go to the Son of God, you will find sufficient grace because He's full of it. That's His glory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's also the conduit, or He's the channel of grace that comes to us. He's the giver of it, and He's the channel or conduit by which it comes to us. We don't go to a different source to get it. We go right to the fountainhead. John said this, the law was given by Moses. And what does that law do? It condemns us. Works wrath in our heart. It curses us. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It is by Him, our Lord Jesus, that the gracious riches of heaven become ours. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle said. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich. He was rich in possession. Heaven was His. The earth was His. All things was His. Yet He became such a poor man that He had no place to lay His head. That you and I, who are in poverty, may obtain through Him eternal riches. He was rich in being loved. Where He left from, everybody loved Him. The Father loved Him. The Spirit loved Him. The saints loved Him. The angels loved Him. And He left that and came to a world that despised Him and rejected Him, that you and I may experience the rich love of heaven. He was rich in joy, and yet He became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Why? That you and I may be filled with the rich joy of God. Jesus Christ was made poor that through His grace, you and I, who are bankrupt sinners, poor and in poverty, might obtain heaven's riches, even be made heirs of God. Oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fountain of it, and He's the conduit. He's the channel of it. But He says something else here that I love very much. Not only the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but John says it like this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's ours. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the New Testament, this phrase, our Lord, is mentioned 55 times. 55 times. It's as though the Holy Spirit knew that we needed to hear this over and over again, that He is ours. Jesus Christ belongs to us. And God reminds us in the very last verse of the Scriptures Don't forget this, he said. You've got confidence that you belong to Him? That's wonderful. Well, consider this. He is yours. I am my beloved's. What a joy that is. But my beloved is mine. Jesus Christ is ours. Listen to this. He's ours as a gift of the Heavenly Father. God gave Him to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His only begotten. The Son of His love. The Father's soul was wrapped up in Him. And He gave Him to us. Unto us a Son is given. God gave Him to us. He's a gift. Gave Him to redeem us. Gave Him to reconcile us to Himself. Gave Him to put away our sins and all the consequences of it. Gave us a Savior. A complete Savior. A door and an access. A mighty one. A Savior. Oh, what a gift. A divine, immeasurable, incomprehensible gift. And He'll never take this gift from us. Because the gifts of God are without repentance. Our Lord Jesus Christ is ours, and He's ours forever. The unspeakable gift of God. Doesn't this bring tears to your soul? Tears of joy and gladness to think that He's ours as a gift of the Father. Jesus Christ is ours by birthright. He's our Lord Jesus Christ by His own birth, for He was born into this world, our world. Unto us a child is born. Hang on to that just for a minute, would you? Get that down deep in your soul. Unto us a child is born. Unto us. He's not born to angels. He's born to us. He's not a mighty creature who merely took upon Himself the form of a man, but He's the mighty God who was conceived in the womb of a virgin woman. And a woman who brought forth her firstborn son. He is as much human as His mother, who is as much human as us. He is ours by birth. Yes, He's heaven's. He is the Lord from glory. He belongs to that place. He created that place. But He belongs to us. Because this is the place of His nativity. If there's anything good comes out of these nativity scenes at Christmas time, it reminds us that He indeed was born here. He came forth from His mother's womb. He was an infant hanging upon the breast of humanity. He is ours. Oh, the angel said, I bring you good tidings. Good tidings. Not only tidings, but good tidings. And not only joy, but great joy. And it won't be to the Jews only. But I bring you these good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. 1806 Hunter Avenue, Newcastle, Indiana. I bring you great joy, good tidings. Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's ours. And though the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven today, He's still ours. He will not, and He cannot deny us. For He is now, and will ever be, in our humanity. When He joined Himself to us, He cannot escape our likeness. He is forever human. And He's in heaven today, but He's still ours. He was in heaven when He wrote this, but He said, I'm still yours. I'm yours. And since Jesus Christ our Lord is in heaven in our humanity, then He is our tie to that place. We have a tie to heaven. And we not only have a tie, but we have a title to heaven. He is our title there because He has taken possession of that place in our humanity. The reason you and I have a sure and steadfast hope in heaven this afternoon is because our forerunner has already entered and taken over that place for us. If He wasn't there in His humanity, then we'd have no hope going there in our humanity. But since He's there in His soul and His body, and He's the forerunner for us, then as sure as He's ours, and as sure as heaven's His, then heaven is ours because of Him. He's not only ours that way, by birth, and a gift of the Father. But the Lord Jesus Christ is ours by an intimate and vital union. Look here with me right quickly in the chapter 19 and verse 7 of Revelation. What a vital union every believer has with Jesus Christ. Because you're in the church. You're in His body. And you're in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Look here what a union the church has with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are truly His by vital union. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He's our husband. And that's the closest union that you can have in this world, is a man and his wife, a husband and wife. They too shall be one flesh. And here the church is His bride. One with Jesus Christ. Listen to Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5. Thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Thy Maker, thy Creator, your Redeemer is your husband. And you know something? He'll never put you away. He hates putting away. There may be husbands in this world that grow weary of their wives and become bitter against them and finally divorce them. Our heavenly husband is not that way. He'll never put his bride away. We're His by vital union. And then lastly, consider this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. With you. Be with you. Be present with you. Not only be in you, but walk with you. Wherever you go, He's there to keep you company. And if the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with you, then nothing can effectually stand against you to finally overcome you. My grace is sufficient for you. Sufficient for all seasons. Sufficient for all trials, for all circumstances. My grace is sufficient. My grace is with you. When work is to be done, grace will help you. When risk is to be taken, grace will give you courage to take it. When hazards are to be run for God's glory, His grace will be sufficient. When it's time to suffer for His name, His grace will sustain you. When friends have forsaken you, His grace will sustain you. He'll be with you. When you're lonely, His grace will keep you company. When you're flat on your back and your breath is gone, when you're laying on your face and the blood is running, and the strength of your heart and your flesh fails you, His grace will strengthen you. His grace is sufficient. His grace is with you. And when it's time to wade the river of death, and the waters seem cold and deep, and the king of terror seems ready to show his frightful face, grace will be with you then. And you'll hear a small voice behind you saying, "Because I live, you shall live also." My grace is with you. And as eternity rolls on, and as the wicked suffer their everlasting fate, you will be basking in the exceeding riches of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never-ending grace. Grace begun is heaven won. It's always so. And who is this grace for? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. All the church, every believer, every member of it, from the first to the last, not one excluded, from the least to the greatest, and from the greatest to the least, every believer of all ages, all nations, all time, all tongues, all people, all kindred, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If His grace is with you, you know something, you're a saved individual. No matter where you find yourself, you're a safe individual. If His grace is with you, and if His grace is with you now, dear soul, it'll always be with you. Even when He doesn't manifest it, in the hiding of it, His grace is with you. Me? Poor me? Poor worm, me? With you all. With you all. Has He ever manifested His grace? Has He ever manifested to you that He saved you by His grace? Then His grace will be with you. He'll never leave you. Nor forsake you. May God bless those few words to our hearts. Let us pray.